This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites. It is Friday, the 20th of May. My name is Audrey Raj and joining me in the studio, as usual, is...
Richard Bradbury.
On the show today, we are going to be talking about something I have been trying to do for quite a few years now. We're going to be talking about quitting social media and joining us in the studio after a very long time.
Yeah, we were just trying to figure out how long it's been since we've actually had a live guest here on EBB, right?
Like a live in-person,
yes,
in the studio guest, a physical face-to-face
guest. Almost 3 years.
It has to be. We have with us in the studio today, Matthew Dayson. He is the founder and head curator at Digital Detox Malaysia. So, you know, he's going to be giving us some insights into how we can effectively quit or take a break from social media. Now, we are talking about this today because... when Twitter accepted Elon Musk's $44 billion offer to buy the social media company, many frequent tweeters vowed to deactivate their accounts. And for a while, it seemed like everyone on Twitter was talking about quitting Twitter.
Twitter. It's Friday. We'll allow you that one, Odds. Not too long ago, people said they would flee Instagram. And before that, it was Facebook. And with every social media controversy, people talk about shutting down their accounts forever. But few people actually do it, right? Now, according to Pew Research Center survey, roughly 70% of Americans used social media in 2021, a level that's kind of remained steady for around 5 years. But in February, Meta Platforms reported Facebook's daily active users fell for the first time in at least a decade. Then they came back out in April to say that the population was growing again.
Yeah, so, and you can understand why it may feel like there's really no escape. Social media apps are crafted to keep us coming back. The dopamine rush that comes from other people's likes, you know, they kind of leave you feeling kind of good about yourself, right? But of course, there is a downside to social media as well. You know, there's this constant exposure to other people's lives, and this can hurt your body image. It can hurt your sleep. It can hurt your, I mean, like, there's anxiety levels to talk about. Also, it can harm productivity.
I'm not so sure about my body image, but definitely sleep, anxiety levels and productivity are on there. Yeah, but many people who have left Twitter, Facebook and Instagram say they are happier because of it. But they also realize that, you know, they miss some things. So we've compiled a list with the help of what readers have told the Wall Street Journal and what we should know when it comes to quitting social media, both for the good and for the bad. So first of all, that withdrawal, it fades fairly quickly. When you're used to checking an app every day or even multiple times a day, hour, minute, you sometimes mindlessly open the app and scroll through your feed. We've all done it. And here's a little quote from Kimberly Katiti. She's a 28-year-old artist from North Hollywood in California. She quit back in April 2021 and she said, "I was so sucked into the negative memes, the clapbacks and the spirals of conflict I saw on Twitter that when I first left, my muscle memory told me to open the app and start scrolling. I got over that within a week. I just put my phone away and before I knew it, I wasn't getting the urge to scroll and see what's happening in the world." Waking up in a morning and just rolling over in your bed and picking up that phone. Muscle memory.
Yeah, and according to Kimberly, it takes a week to get over that.
That's frightening, man.
We'll check with Matthew just how long it will take for us to stop reaching for our phones. Second is you're still connected to the world. Social media started as a way to connect with friends, but platforms evolved to become places for companies and people to share news and politics. Elon Musk called Twitter the world's, what was it, de facto town square?
Yes, amongst other things.
Yes, but with that increased role came, of course, misinformation and other issues. And cutting social media out of your life may nudge you to find other sources for news. And just because you're not on Facebook, it doesn't really mean you're going to miss all those big cultural moments and trends, you know. And of course, you don't have to get all of this from WhatsApp.
Another point. People are nicer. You don't have to be on social media for long to encounter Facebook rants or Twitter feuds where people you know communicate differently than they do in person. When you no longer see those posts and instead interact with people in real life. Your views change. This is a quote from JJ Garcia, 54-year-old business analyst in Texas. I'm not doing the accent. It's so much easier to post rude stuff when you're behind a keyboard wall.
Yeah.
But in person, your neighbors seem less inclined to talk about that stuff, and you can get along with them better when you're not seeing all of their opinions online. There's that, when you're online, there's that air of anonymity,
yes.
You know, and you feel almost protected by the fact that you're hiding behind a username for a lot of the time, right?
Mm. Yep. Next up, you might have trouble sending or donating money. Now, on Facebook, you can add your payment information to buy and sell items on the marketplace, send money to family on Messenger, donate directly to causes. You can do all of this stuff online. And, you know, maybe leaving Facebook or leaving Instagram can make that more cumbersome. Here's a quote from Bobby Bushler, a 57-year-old retired high school teacher from Las Vegas who ditched the social network back in 2019. He said, "On Twitter, I follow organizations that rescue dogs, and they make posts saying to donate on Facebook, or they link to a post made on Facebook, but I can't easily check it because I don't want to go on Facebook anymore." So, you know, there's this need to want to donate and support certain causes, but without that access via Facebook, it's kind of cut off.
Mm, I get it via WhatsApp. Compendium, man. That's what I get. You know, can you loan me some money? Anyway, people don't miss you or remember your birthday. That's a big one. Kristen Womack was active on Facebook and Instagram. She ran groups, shared articles, and operating a small business account. But when she left Facebook in 2016 and Instagram in 2021, no one seemed to notice. Here's a little quote from her. "Not one person said, 'Oh, wow, I don't see you on Facebook or Instagram anymore. I miss you.' Once you leave the party, it's like you're not missed."
Mm.
And those birthday reminders and comments on your Facebook wall, say goodbye to those. Though doing so may not necessarily be a bad thing.
Yeah.
This is from Verlin, an IT project manager, and he said, "On Facebook, on my birthday, 300 people would pop up, and then you'd have to respond and like all the comments from random people. Now my interactions are more genuine. On my birthday, like 20 people texted me, and I'm happier with that."
I think I'd be happier with that too.
Yeah, because people don't know how old you are then, you know?
Right. And another one here, you will feel more productive. Leaving social media gives you more free time, sometimes more than you know what to do with. Here's a quote from Lindsay Zittman. She's from Minnesota, and she quit Instagram back in 2020. She said, "I was surprised to realize just how much time I wasted on scrolling."
Mm.
"You hop on your computer to write, and it's easy to get sidetracked. Now, in those in-between times when I have a few minutes, I read books, I'm more present with family, or I'll cook without picking up my phone." It looks like she just resorted to chores.
Good point. And the other thing is friends tend to drift away. So social media can make you feel like you're in touch with people just because you double-tapped a post or because someone commented on one of your photos. Once you leave, some of those relationships fade. Oliver Murray, a freelance digital artist, says he lost contact with some online friends when he deleted his Instagram back in 2019. And he says, "It makes me sad to think about it, but I got annoyed with all the superficial vanity posts.
Mm.
The only way I'll go back to Instagram is if Elon Musk ruins Twitter," which is a distinct possibility.
Yeah. So now I think Oliver says that he only shares his artwork on Tumblr and Twitter, where there's no pressure to post constantly.
Right.
Do you feel that pressure to post constantly, Rich?
No, but I live with somebody whose job it is to post constantly, so I understand that pressure that people are under to do that. And it, for them, it is a real job, and it becomes part and parcel of everything that they do, and it becomes such an important part of what they do that you can see that they would never be able to do a digital detox. Never. You know, for me, it's fine, but I see how people would suffer from it. What about you?
Yeah, I do. But then sometimes I tell myself, like, I feel the need to post more consistently. They tell you that it'll generate more engagement and things like that. But I just don't have the time.
You see, I think it depends on what side of the fence we're sitting on, right? And if you're doing it genuinely what Instagram was created for, creating memories and holding on to those kind of things, I think it's a great thing to do regularly. I'm out with friends, I'm going to take pictures and do that kind of stuff. I'm not going to take pictures of my food, you know?
Same here.
Right. But I see people doing that because it's part and parcel of their job.
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break for some Team Impala. But when we come back, we'll speak to the founder of a Malaysian startup that's been working with corporates to give their workforce a digital detox. And we'll ask Matthew here about what really happens when people hand their phones over during these detox masterclasses, as well as how long till everyone's screaming for their phones back.
Yeah, we've heard him giggling in the background throughout the introduction there. And if you do want to get in touch with the show, don't forget you can get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter at BFM Radio.
Balanced Frank Medium, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with Richard Bradbury and Audrey Raj. Joining us in the studio today as we talk about quitting social media or taking a break from social media.
Fleeing the feeds.
Fleeing the feeds, indeed. We have with us in the studio Matthew Dayson, the founder and head curator of Digital Detox Malaysia.
Hi, guys.
Of course, we are talking about, you know, quitting social media or shutting it down for a bit. And if you would like to chime in and tell us if you have tried to quit social media and what happened, you can get us on Twitter, at BFM Radio is our handle. Also on Instagram, at BFM Radio. Or you can text us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Now, with every social media controversy, people talk about shutting down their accounts forever, and few actually do it. And that's because, you know, social media apps are crafted to keep us coming back. But what happens when you finally take a break from the feeds? Is the world a happier place? And how long till FOMO makes you jump back on the gram? So we're hoping Matthew here will have the answers to all those questions.
Yeah, Matthew, come on then. Tell us a little bit about Digital Detox and what exactly you do.
Well, first off, hi, Richard. Hi, Audrey. It's great to be back live in person. I guess you guys mentioned on it earlier. It's good to be out and about, I think, with all these MCOs lifted. A bit about Digital Detox. What we first started off doing is we just wanted to raise awareness of the benefits of a digital detox and also the dangers of hyperconnectivity as we were heading towards that trend. So a digital detox, when we first started August 2020, and we noticed that was right at the height of COVID. The MCOs were in place. There was no movements whatsoever. There was a work from home culture that was being adopted.
And, I loved that.
The work from home culture. We just forgot how to speak to our our colleagues and stuff. And also our smartphone and even our screen time usage just skyrocketed at the time. You know, everything was digital. Our food was digital. Our relationships were digital. Even our work was digital. For some extent. Usually you used to work from 9 to 5 and then suddenly you're working 24 hours because you're online all the time. So we started off with a simple, clear vision of just sharing or raising awareness of the benefits of a digital detox. And this has since grown into the corporate side of the business where we see a lot of corporates reaching out to us because there is an integration issue between the generations in the office. There is also you know, people coming back now into the workspace who don't want to because they're so used to these work from home situations and so on. So our corporate setting sort of integrates the team back together. We improve communication. That's where we see a bulk of our growth happening. For our individual clients, though, they have reached out to us because we have a sexy name. That's the buzzword of this generation, Digital Detox Malaysia. They had enough. They want to come. They are trying to understand, how do I shut off? How do I disconnect? So what we do is we do a lot of workshops, a lot of clinics to help them achieve their goal for our individuals. And for our corporate clients, it's more of a HR prerogative. We see employee well-being being a key word in this season, employee well-being, mental health. And it's something good. It feels like a give back on the corporate side. And of course, more focused and productive employee. It's always what the bosses want, you know.
This mental well-being thing is a new, I mean, it shouldn't be a new thing, but for Malaysian business culture, it's a fairly new thing,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. The best and the brightest companies usually now are starting to take this into account. They have corporate wellness programs for their employees, which they encourage them to take breaks. They encourage them to switch off, for instance. And this has an overall benefit into the company as a whole. So, yeah, it's a good direction that they're heading in. But, yeah, there's a lot of ways to improve, I guess, here in Malaysia.
Okay, so Matthew, what I want to know is what's the usual response when you first take people's phones away or have them hand over their phones? Are they kicking and screaming? You know, when you put them in this masterclass and you take their phones away for them, what happens?
So, I get this question a lot. You know, that's where fear usually sets in, first of all. They're really scared that I'm going to take away their... They're so used to their devices. However, but then I explained to them, we are here, or the team is here, not so much to take away their devices, but to ask the question, why are they picking it up in the first place?
Oh, good one. Yeah.
I think this is where our angle is, because it's more of a state of mind. A digital detox is a state of mind. And taking away their devices, it's just like abstaining from something. You know, so we try not to preach abstinence. We sort of try to shift their mindset. So we'll try to implement strategies as a digital detox free zone. So there's no phones in the bedroom, for instance. Right? So it helps you sleep better, help you wake up better. You know, you're not waking up and looking at your phone for the first 30 minutes and stuff like that. On our corporate clients, they're usually really they're more open to this, because they want their people to start communicating in real life, right? Instead of just sending a WhatsApp message to each other. And you see, us as colleagues and so on, I think our best work happens when we start interacting with people and express our creativity. And usually with devices, it's sort of lacking. There's no human interaction. Yeah. And that's what we crave sometimes. It keeps the message authentic.
I mean, we've spoken about, you know, withdrawal symptoms and that kind of thing. And it is almost like an addiction, you know. But even just having you in the studio today, I can already feel that there's a different energy.
There's a different vibe,
There's a different vibe altogether. And you were just mentioning WhatsApp there as well. And it feels as though so much business nowadays is done just via WhatsApp. And I have to remind people, you know, can you just send me an email, you know, just to go back a little bit so I know what I'm doing. But before the break, you know, we were discussing how this withdrawal from social media can fade fairly quickly. Roughly how long do you think it takes for people to not look at the phone or to lose the urge to just jump online? Is it different for everybody or...?
Well, this depends on the individual. So most participants who come up to us, if it's on the corporate side of stuff, it is usually... instantaneously, we can see these results because we are improving their communication within their workspace. And this, of course, it turns into a positive thing on the work output or productivity. For our individual clients, though, they have reached out to us because they want to shut down or they want to disconnect. And they are more eager and open to these tactics or strategies. But sometimes it is not... We can't run away from technology. Our phones are always with us. But we can be more mindful of what we're using for. And I think we just did a small experiment here in the studio. And, you know, it shocked a lot of us.
Yeah, we'll come back to that experiment. We're going to take another quick break for some Weezer. But in the meantime, get in touch with us. Join in the conversation. Have you tried to quit social media? Have you tried a digital detox yourself? What happened? 018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. You can also chime in on Twitter at BFM Radio is our handle. We'll be back in just a few minutes on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Rich Bradbury and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are talking about taking a break from social media or quitting it altogether. And we're speaking with a live in-person guest.
A real person
in the studio with us. Yes, Matthew Dayson, founder and head curator of Digital Detox Malaysia.
Yeah, if you want to get in touch with us and ask us or Matthew any questions, you can get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram is at BFM Radio whilst you're in the middle of detoxing. Now, we've had a few questions already. But Matthew, what do you think are the main benefits of disconnecting from the online world? Why is it important to allow yourself this space away from that digital world?
I guess I think the main thing we start off with the basics. First of all, it's a reduced anxiety. We don't feel too stressed out all the time. Better sleep patterns, that usually happens. Better sleep patterns is one of our key things. And it can act as a sort of a cleanse. That's what we notice for a digital detox. Also, it's really important for us because, you know, in this digital world currently that we're in, everything is digital. Our relationships are digital. Our food is digital. You know, even our travel sometimes when we come over travel, it's all digital. So we are looking for a more authentic experience sometimes, and we crave that authenticity. Sometimes moderation, it's a good key. I think it's something that we need to plan with as well.
Mm. Okay, but are there long-lasting results to taking this digital detox? You know, just putting your phone away for, I don't know, like not being on social media for a week or something like that.
Oh, it sounds like a dream.
But is there long-lasting results to doing something like this?
Oh, yes. It usually manifests itself as a state of mind. You can see people more calmer. When they speak to people, they seem more centered. Situations don't faze them usually. They're not too stressful because they're not getting alerted all the time. Hey, you need to do this now. Hey, you need to do this now. You know, they seem more in control usually, as a zen kind of a feeling. That's what we notice. But long-lasting usually, it's a state of mind. They have to work on it like everything. It's a new skill set. They have to practice what they're doing. And sometimes there's benefits. They want to make sure it's part of their life again. So they have that real life interaction. They have the digital detox spaces in their house, or even content fasting that they're doing. So good that you mentioned this 7-day detox and so on. There is a large movement now happening globally where they just shut down for a week. You don't see them online. They are in an island somewhere.
Just go off the grid.
Yeah, they're off the grid. They're disconnected. They are, but it gives them space to finalize that idea that they were hoping to finish, or a book that they're willing to read. So it gives them an excess of time. And a lot of us need that sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of the really bigger influencers, you know, the ones with millions and millions of followers who obviously they're not posting their own things. They have people following them around and handling their social media accounts. And a lot of them do seem very chill in their interviews and whatever. But I think Selena Gomez is one that has said that she's stepped back away from her social media stuff. And don't look at me like I know what I'm talking about. It's just something I read.
But she says
she feels a lot more centered because she's not constantly checking, you know, the comments, the photos and the reactions and stuff. But do you think there's an optimal detox period then?
I think it's more, not so much of an optimal detox period, but it's more of how much hours we spend in a day. So we have something that we can actually check how much is our consumption of our digital devices that we're having. And it's in all our handphones already, from our iPhones to Samsung.
Audrey, get your phone out.
Yeah, I've got my phone out. Yeah. Okay, tell me how to do this.
If you're on an iPhone, you just go to your battery setting, swipe up, and you can go down into your usage or data usage, and you can see what you're using your apps for. And if you're on an Android setting, and this is even better, Android has a subcategory called digital well-being, which is already on your phone.
Rich, rip it out.
That's the one that I actually switched off.
Conveniently. Digital well-being.
Conveniently before this show. Uh-huh. Right, sure. Okay, in the last 24 hours, I've been on my phone the screen has been on for 3 hours and 57 minutes.
So sometimes this is a game we can play with ourselves. You can already ask, how much time am I spending on your phones? You'll have a number in your head.
Yeah.
And then you look at your phone and you'll realize, and this is the scary part. We don't know, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Turn it on, Rich. Tomorrow I'm going to ask you.
All right. Yes. Yes, boss. Yes, boss.
Okay. So I'm also curious, Matthew, if digital addiction is like other addictions as well, you know, is it as bad, or is it like just like the okay kind, you know?
I see exactly what you mean, but
there's an okay addiction.
Tolerated. I think this question usually comes up from a friend or a relative, because they've seen a change in your mood or your personality, just like how drug addiction used to be labeled. Hey, you know, this guy seems different currently. Mm. Or have you noticed something with him? So it's not as clinical, I would say, but it is already leading there. I think our data is already showing that we're on our phone 6 to 7 hours. You know, even here, it was 4 hours and stuff, which we don't realize. Provided it doesn't take away time from what we started or set out doing, from maintaining relationships with family or our studies or even our work patterns. So as long as it's not interrupting or it's not... or we plan to use the time for something where the digital device is coming and taking away our time. As long as it's catered for, I think it's something that we can manage.
I've got some messages. Yeah, do you want to hear some from some people outside? Yeah. Raj has said the simple things like having dinner with family without phones. That's something that we forget about now. Yeah. Tsai Yao Yang has said, I'm a lurker on social media anyway, so never. I never partake in any sort of content creation. And the only social media that I'm kind of active on is Reddit. Not on mainstream social media like Facebook or Twitter anyway. I do love juicy gossip. How else could I get my fix on... Johnny Depp and Amber Heard thing going on. And if anything, my legal vocabulary has increased. That social media is good for your soul if used in moderation. And over on Twitter, we've got MN Ibrahim who says, I've stayed away from Facebook for more than 3 years now, but take away my phone? No. What am I supposed to do on the toilet? Count tiles? The horror.
All right. Shall we take another quick break, Rich?
I think we should. Yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break for some messages. But when we come back, we talk about the difference in the way participants react when, you know, they have to take a digital detox. You know, are the older generation more comfortable, or maybe the digital natives? We'll have all that and more with Matthew Dayson from Digital Detox Malaysia in just a few minutes on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Because friends matter. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Rich and Odds. On the show today, we are talking about taking a break from social media. Is it even possible? And we're doing that with a guest in the studio, Matthew Dayson, the founder and head curator of Digital Detox Malaysia. Once again, if you'd like to talk to us about your attempts to quit social media, or take a break from social media, do your own digital detox or something like that, tell us how it went. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio, on Twitter and on Instagram. Now, Matt, you know, before the break, we're talking about if there was any difference in the way participants would react, you know, based on age. Like, are the older participants more comfortable with, you know, handing their phones away or going on this digital fast? Do they take better to the detox, the digital detox? Or do you think, and also, do you think this will work for those just entering the workforce, you know, the digital natives, those who were like born with handphones in their hands?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, this is one of the key reasons why our clients come to us. There is a disconnect between the Gen Xs, the Gen Zs, the millennials, and the baby boomer generation. And in the workplace, this manifests itself sometimes in a breakdown of communication between higher management and staff. And in the extreme cases, it can seem like there's a lack of empathy in the workplace.
So wait. So is it just like I'm going to sound terrible saying this, but like the higher management is communicating with you on Facebook and then you are like somewhere else.
There's just a disconnect because...
I feel cold out almost there. I still use Facebook. What's wrong with Facebook?
Who uses Facebook? Okay, sorry. Sorry, Meta.
It happens. Sometimes there is a... disconnect because we do not connect anymore if it's not about work. If you're in a corporate setting, you're only speaking about work, you don't speak about your own shared interests anymore. And that is what's happening with the different generations or different relationships with their digital device. And that's why our clients come to us because, especially now when people are coming back into the office, integration between the teams from a digital setting into a real life scenario, that takes some working too as well. So you feel suddenly you don't speak with a shorthand anymore. You know, some people usually used to do that. There is some synergy with teams. They know how to produce better. But taking a digital approach, sometimes we mask our humanity. And that's what we want
our personality,
you know, keeping the message authentic sometimes. Yeah, there is a difference, but that's what we are here for, to help them integrate better, I guess.
Okay. I suppose we've got one last question for you then before we let you go. And you know, how quickly do participants, the people that have been experimented on, jump back into the digital world after these sessions? You know, have you had feedback on if they enjoy like a healthy relationship with social media after these sessions?
Well, reducing device usage, smartphones, laptops. I think we can't run away from it.
Yeah.
But what we notice is they are more mindful of their devices currently and why they are reaching out for it. You can see that in restaurants or even in work spaces where people are sitting together, but they are on their phone.
Yes.
For some reason. We don't know what is the reason. Neither do they sometimes. They have a muscle memory of just picking up the phone maybe, or it's usually a distraction that we don't know how to control. And so if we sort of delve in that reasoning of why actually are we picking up this phone, and then maybe we'll have a better idea of, technology is actually controlling us and we are not controlling technology.
I can give you the perfect example about that. And I'm not going to call out our colleague, but I will, Arvin. You know, when he gets into the lift where you know there is no signal, he pulls out his phone immediately. And I'm like, what are you doing? You can't connect, and it's just having that phone. You do it as
it's
well,
don't
you?
It's muscle memory. I do that too. I know there's no service in the elevator, but then I still do that. I also do that the minute I'm in a little line, just one person in front of me at Starbucks, and I've got my phone out already, and I'm like, I don't know why.
So there's a reason why we do stuff like this. It's one thing. It's this is called pain management. Everything is pain management. We want to get away from discomfort. So what is the discomfort here, being in an elevator with people? We don't want to talk. Yeah. We don't want to talk, so we have put up the shield, which is our phones. Talk to me. That's what it means. That's our discomfort. We are trying to get away from that. You know, who is this person in the lift? Is he going to start talking to me?
But my husband does that when we are having lunch.
I think
what
this is something else. It's for another show, maybe.
That's the bigger picture, Audrey. You know, they come up a little bit later on. I mean, for us, the protection used to be headphones, but now headphones have also become part of that. You know, they've got headphones on. They're now communicating.
Correct. They are plugged in. They are working, maybe. It seems to be a shortcut. So we used to have that in the corporate office setting. And when they have their headphone on, usually we think they're working, but it's actually they don't want to talk.
Correct. And I got away with that for years.
There you go.
It's an industry secret.
It's an industry secret, yeah. We do have a question here, though, before you go, Matthew. And it's regarding these... this is from number ending 5089. They say, hey, question for Digital Detox. I've got myself the Digital Detox cards, and it's helped a lot. What's next?
All right.
So quickly tell us what the cards are and then tell us what you're doing next.
Great. So when we first started, it was to raise awareness of the benefits of digital detox. We started off with digital detox strategy cards, and we put them on sale online just to help people with strategies and so on. So what's next is, it's pretty interesting. We're working with some... retreats, corporate retreats and resorts just off Kuala Lumpur. So we are looking to run our own corporate retreat happening just in the next month, actually. And it's some exciting news that we want to share.
Uh-huh.
So it's a full corporate retreat for three days, two nights, just off KL, where you actually come for our session, you disconnect, you reconnect with yourself. And it's a full segment. So it's a getaway, I guess.
Connect with yourself.
I know, right? I've got to ask him one thing, Pruvika. Do you practice what you preach?
You know what? When we first started this, I noticed the change in my own behavior, because I was always on my phone. I used to have a digital relationship with some of my friends. We don't actually see each other, and COVID really compounded that. And there are some people actually getting upset that we don't have that magic anymore. We used to hang out, and now we don't. And stuff. So, it's been difficult. I do practice a lot of stuff that I preach, but, you know, it's a struggle for me as well.
I have to say, Matthew got in just after 11, and we haven't seen him whip out his phone in the last...
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
almost
true.
2 hours he hasn't whipped out his phone. So, good on you, Matthew.
He's going to be frantically checking it in the elevator on the way down.
For, you know, everyone tuning in who would like more information on Digital Detox Malaysia, how can they get get in touch with you? Do they have to, like, smoke signals or
so this is the funny part, right? You can connect with me through our website on digitaldetoxmalaysia.com, and we have our updates there. We do have our digital detox strategy cards, our masterclass info, and also our plans for our upcoming retreat. So yeah, just stick around for that.
Lovely. Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
Of course, that was Matthew Dayson, founder and head curator of Digital Detox Malaysia. Are we all fresh out of messages?
We're all out of messages today. Right. But thanks for all your messages, folks.
Yeah. And that, I guess, is a wrap of our show today. We have been talking about fleeing from the feeds, but don't go anywhere. Coming up in just a bit after the 1 p.m. news bulletin is, of course, the Breakfast Grill replay. And on the grill this morning was the CEO of Coco International, Ho Kian Chun. So stay tuned for that happening right after the 1 p.m. news bulletin. But now on behalf of myself, Richard Bradbury, and our guest Matthew Dayson, have a lovely weekend ahead. And thank you for joining us on Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.